Praise God. You can turn in your Bibles to, we can turn to Joshua chapter 10. I'm continuing to preach from the book of Joshua. I was tempted to change gears this week, but I feel like the Lord has spoken to my heart through yet another story in this book. Let me just kind of give you the context where we're going to start reading. Israel had defeated Jericho. They went on to the next target, which was Ai. They did not inquire of God, and they went forward with a small force to attack Ai presumptuously. And they were defeated in front of their enemies, and 36 men died. They come back to camp, and they fall on their faces, and they weep. And God basically tells Joshua, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. And many of you know the story. Achan had taken some of the spoil from Jericho and hidden it against the command of the Lord. And so they took care of that. And then they did what God told them to. They defeated Ai. And they're on their way to the next military target when a group of ragtag travelers shows up at the Israelites' camp. And they tell a sad tale that they've come from a faraway country and they had ragged clothes on and they had moldy bread in their knapsacks on their camels. And they said, we're from a far country and we've heard what God's doing and how He's blessed you and how He's fighting for you and we want to make a peace treaty. Once again, they didn't inquire of the Lord. And they made a treaty with them and found out they lived just down the road. They'd been fooled. And now, that's one set of enemies that they just had to live with because they made a solemn oath and covenant with them before God. The next thing that happens is, when other kings, in those days it was city-states, where a king would rule a city and he would rule the region that that city controls. Five other kings in the area heard that Gibeon, that was the city that fooled Israel and got a covenant of peace out of them. They had heard that Gibeon, which by the way was a mighty city full of mighty warriors, and these five kings knew that. And when they heard that Gibeon wanted to cut a deal instead of fight Israel, it scared them. And they said, we better get a team together so that we can defeat Israel because none of us can defeat them by ourselves. They got five kings together and they came to attack Israel. Guess what Joshua did this time? He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. It's just some observations. I'm really just setting you up for the next story. And we're just going to skip that first slide that quotes that says they did not ask counsel of the Lord. But here's a little lesson that I want all of us to hear tonight, today. The enemy will attempt to either deceive us or overwhelm us. Okay? And that's what we see in this story. And we're going to move on from this because this isn't the main thing I want to preach about. But I just felt like this concept, we need to hear it. The enemy will either try to intimidate and overwhelm you with a direct frontal attack against you, your family, your life, your welfare, your health, whatever. He will either try to a direct frontal assault, or if that brings the holy warrior out in you, he'll try to go around the side and deceive you. But he's gonna be trying to get something over on God's people. It's not if we'll have a battle. It's just what kind of battle is it? Is it coming in the form of deception and subtlety? Or is it coming in the form of an overwhelming frontal assault? Either way, the devil does not want you to succeed. You know, they say God's got a plan for your life. The devil's got a plan for our lives too. But we're more than conquerors in him. We don't have to worry about it, but we do have to confront it. And one of the things we need to do is we need to continually be inquiring of the Lord. Listening for His voice. Because here's the deal, we're an easy target without the Lord's direction and power. We are an easy target without the Lord's direction and power. And the good news is this, we are offered both. We are offered His direction and we are offered His power. There is no enemy that can prosper against us if we are surrendered to the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, everywhere present God. Is this true? There is no enemy that can defeat us. We are more than through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Us and God together is a majority. You say, but Pastor, you know what's going on in our country. And listen, I get it. I'm preoccupied with our country right now. Do I have my own battles? Yes, I do. Does my wife and I have our own challenges that we're having to face in our personal realm? Yes, we do. But I'm preoccupied with our nation right now because I believe we're at a crucial point. And so, is God plus us enough to affect a nation?
Yes, amen.
Me and Deborah believe it. Thank you, Deborah. I believe you believe it too. I do. Some of you've put yourself in some unfit category. God can't hear my prayers. Or God won't hear my prayers. Not for the nation. He might hear my prayers that, you know, my car don't break down before I got enough money to get it fixed. He might hear that prayer, but He's not going to hear my prayer about the nation. I beg to differ with you. You say, but I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough Christian. I'm not holy enough. I'm not. I'll tell you what you are. If you're a child of God, you have access to the Father who rules the universe. He rules the universe. And in my little daily Heal Our Land prayer and scripture this morning, I put one short line and it says basically that God controls the princes and the judges of the world.
Amen.
Anyway, moving right along. In chapter 10, verse 8, they're about to attack this coalition. You ever feel ganged up on? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You ever feel ganged up on? Feel like folks or something got together and was going to try to overwhelm you? That's where Joshua and the people of Israel are at. And in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." When the five kings ganged up on Israel, by this time Joshua had learned his lesson. He had learned his lesson. He dared not go to another battle without hearing from God and obeying Him completely. And that's what he did. And I want to say to you today, when we listen and obey, God fights for us.
Amen.
This is simple today. And unless God just starts wanting to say something through me that I don't anticipate, it's going to be short. When we listen, when we ask God to speak to us and give us direction, and we listen to what He says, and we obey what He says, God fights for us.
Amen.
Say it. God fights for me. Say it. God fights for me. There's a condition. When we listen, when we ask to hear, then we listen, then we obey. And that's what happened that day. And then you go on down and you see in verse 10, And I don't know if I have this on the screen or not, but well, that, I just summarized it. And the Lord routed them before Israel. But let me read the whole verse. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth-horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth-horon, the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. And there were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. In other words, Israel went to fight, and God fought for them, and yet Israel fought too in partnership with God, and yet more victory was gained by God Himself in partnership with these people than they ever could have done on their own. And the battle went on. And the battle went on. And in verse 12, God began to stretch the potential of the moment. Go back to that other slide there, Eddie. And when we listen and obey, not only does God fight for us, but He stretches the potential of the moment. He stretches the potential of the moment. Let me show you what it says. Verse 12 now. Joshua spoke to the Lord and he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon." And guess what? It did. But listen to the commentary on what had happened in verse 14. There has been no day like that before it or after it. Did you hear that? There's been no day. No day. No, not even in the days of Moses, who miracles just seemed to surround his leadership just all the time. No day had ever been like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. When we listen and obey, God stretches the potential of the moment. In other words, He gave them more time to completely defeat the enemy with His help. Let me just say this. I believe God wants to stretch the potential of this moment in all of our lives. I believe the future of this nation rests on the church today. I believe the future of this nation rests on the people of God in this nation. I believe that. And now is our time. I'm not going to go to the Esther story, even though that's a great one. But now is our time. And you say, "But I'm not a Joshua. Will he heed my voice?" You know, I talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, and I didn't do a very good job of it, but I'm going to come back and hit at it again. But the old covenant is inferior to the covenant we got. What we have, the authority, the access, the power, the anointing that we have in Jesus Christ is greater than anything Moses and Joshua experienced. The lack here is not on God's side. God wants to stretch the potential of this season we are in. I believe that He desires to use a cry from our hearts to defeat evil in our nation, our community, our families, our church, our own lives. I believe He wants to use a cry from the heart of His people in this nation to effect victory. Why? Why does He want to use our cry? He knows what needs to be done. I think for one reason, He wants partners. He knows exactly what needs to be done better than we'll ever know. But He wants to use our cry.
Amen.
To effect victory over evil and wickedness in our nation, in our communities, in our church, in our lives, in our families. I believe God wants to create that cry. Because that cry is not in some of our hearts right now. Our cry is, God, get my fat out of the fire. God, fix my personal problems. Some of us, we have a lot of problems, and sometimes it's hard for us to feel any sense of urgency beyond the sphere of our own personal crisis. And yet God wants to create a cry in His people in this season, in this moment, where that cry goes beyond our own personal crisis, and it goes to the crisis of our community, and it goes to the crisis of our nation, and we cry from a deep, desperate desire to see the lost born again and the wicked come to repentance, and a nation to avert judgment, and a nation to stop crumbling from within. I believe He wants to create that cry inside every one of His children in this nation today. Not something you just get jacked up about it because the preacher preached about it today, but something day by day you hear the news and something inside you says, oh God, send revival. Oh God, awaken the lost to their need and their eternal destiny. Oh God, heal the disease of this culture that we live in. God be glorified by more and more tens and hundreds of millions of people in this country. I understand. If you're battling a deadly disease, it's hard to focus on the nation. I get that. I understand if your marriage is on the edge of falling apart, it's hard to get all worked up about revival in Gunnersville. I get that. But God wants to stretch not just the moment. He wants to stretch the moment, the potential of the moment, by stretching our hearts to embrace this season of opportunity to affect the destiny of our nation and our communities, our church, our families. Because here's the deal. When God blesses the nation because I'm crying out, guess what happens? He begins working in my personal crisis too. When I focus on the big picture, He focuses on the little picture. And He's got my back. And when I'm crying out for the lost, He is intervening with my family members. He's intervening with my health. He is intervening with the lost in my own family that have strayed away from God. He's touching my body. You reap what you sow. And if we allow God to stretch our heart to really embrace this moment and embrace the need of people that are beyond our own knowledge, they're beyond our own sphere of influence, they're beyond our personal relationships or concern, when we allow God to grow the concern of our heart, when we allow God to stretch our faith, when we allow God to stretch our compassion, when we allow God to put within us an urgent desire to see Him magnified all across this nation where He is being vilified right now. Doesn't something inside you say, God deserves glory, and yet you're denigrating His name? Isn't there something that rises up inside you as a child of God that says He deserves adoration and magnification and glorification from the people of America, maybe more than any people in history?
Amen.
As one man said, we've been given so much for so long with so little impact. You say, wait a minute, now our nation's made a lot of impact, but has it made the kind of impact it could make with what God's blessed us with? Only He knows that, doesn't He? God wants to stretch our heart and stretch our faith to bring revival to the church, bring the lost to Christ, and bring wickedness down in our nation. You say, well, we'll never completely bring wickedness down. No, I get that. There's still a rendezvous with Antichrist somewhere down the line. I get that. That's not this season. That's not on our watch. What's happening right now is on our watch. And I believe that we can avert disaster if God's people. God wants to create a bold and compassionate cry in our hearts. Is there a desperate cry in your heart that goes beyond your own private crisis? If not, you can ask Him, and I promise you, that's a prayer He'll answer. You ask Him for a heart that stretches beyond your own personal. And when I say personal, I'm meaning even beyond this church, beyond your family, beyond your job, beyond your welfare. Ask God to give you a heart that aches for people you haven't even met in California. Ask Him. You say, I got enough burden. I can't handle anymore. Let me tell you something. You pray that prayer, He will give you the power and the unction to pray those kinds of prayers consistently, passionately, and with faith. And you can do it. And hundreds of millions of lost people need us to do it. 39 children found in the back of a tractor trailer a week or two ago in Atlanta, Georgia. They need God's people to cry out for something besides their own personal blessing. Yes. Pedophiles. They're voting to give recognized status to pedophiles. This nation needs us.
Amen.
They need us to pray beyond my own crisis. You say, well, God can do it without my cry. He has chosen not to. Will victory or defeat in our nation affect us personally? Absolutely. Do we have anything to gain or lose in this fight between the light and the darkness in our nation? Absolutely. Can we ever pray just totally altruistic prayers that have no effect on our own lives? Probably not. Because everything big that God does will trickle down and will affect us personally, for good or for bad. But when God finds someone whose heart is loyal to Him, who wants His glory to shine more than we want our own comfort, His heart is moved and His hand is extended and He does mighty things. Read the scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to Him. We don't have the scripture, so let me read it again. Just listen, you ain't got to watch. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. He hadn't changed since that was written. I believe that He wants to stretch our hearts. Renee, come on to the piano, please. I believe He wants to stretch our hearts and stretch out His hands to do miracles. I really do. He wants to stretch our hearts and stretch out His hand to do miracles in this moment. Because God wants to respond to the cry He puts in our hearts. He wants to put a cry that cries out for the 100 million plus lost people in America. They're on their way to hell. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay that certain state is trying to legalize pedophilia. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with sex trafficking running like a rampage runaway train in our nation, in our state, in the Southeast. I'm not okay with that. I believe God's putting that cry in my heart. And I believe He, if it's not already in your heart, and I think many of you it is, but if it's not, ask Him to put it there. And He wants to respond to the cry He puts in our heart. Even to the point of doing miraculous things at our prayers. And it will take miracles to fulfill the cry that He will put in our hearts. Why? Because His heart's that big. His heart is that big. His heart breaks over these things I just mentioned more than my heart will ever break. His heart breaks over the abuse of children all across this nation. His heart breaks at systemic poverty. His heart breaks at systemic racism. His heart breaks over the conflicts of people. His heart breaks over people lost in darkness. His heart breaks over the fact that the suicide rate has skyrocketed since the pandemic. His heart breaks. And when I allow Him to stretch my heart more toward fitting His heart, and I cry out from that enlarged heart, He'll do miracles. He'll do miracles. He'll deliver addicts. He will put marriages back together. He will heal cancer. I believe this. But I believe the foundation of that, and this is something we talked about this past Wednesday night. Why don't we see more miracles? And one of the reasons I believe is what I'm preaching this morning. Our heart needs to beat with His heart. And when we do that and when we go there and our heart is stretched more towards the capacity of His heart to love the unlovely and the lost and the broken and the bound, when that happens in us, we are coming into alignment like John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. How can two walk together except they be agreed, the Bible says. How can two walk together except they be agreed? When we walk abiding in Him, we can't walk constantly abiding in Him without conforming to His will, His way, and His heart. And the closer we walk with Jesus, the more our heart conforms to His heart. And the more my heart conforms to His heart, the more I'll pray prayers that match His heart. And when I begin praying prayers that match His heart, I can expect miracles. He wants to stretch His display of greatness in this moment. Powerful things happen when we focus on His kingdom coming and His will being done. God wants to create this cry in our hearts and He wants to respond to it, and I'm done. This is not a performance. This is our moment. William Barclay, a great biblical scholar and teacher, said this: there's two great days in every human being's life. The day you were born and the day you discover why. The day you discover why you were born. I know we weren't all just born for this moment. We were born for many moments. But I'm telling you, you're still on this earth for this moment. You know, just a week or two ago, I was praying about our nation, and like I've been doing for a month or so now, And after Nate spoke a couple of weeks ago, it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, why are you so passionate about praying for the nation? Because you don't want it to get uncomfortable? Well, yeah, but. And I feel like the Lord spoke to me in my own heart and said, why aren't you eager for me to get glory across this nation? How about breaking over the lostness of probably maybe as many as 200 million people? If you're willing for God to create, stretch your heart and create a cry that goes way beyond your own welfare, the welfare of those that you love so closely, way beyond your family, way beyond your church, even way beyond our town and our county. If you want Him to create that cry in your heart and stretch you so that He can use you and be and partner with you in turning a nation, I just want you to at least stand up, would you? Raise your hands to heaven. God, forgive us for being so consumed with our own stuff that we've watched a nation run off the rails and go in the ditch and head toward destruction. Forgive us, Lord, for being so focused on me and mine and ours that, God, we've left the bigger things not embraced with passion and faith and compassion, oh God. Oh God. Stretch us, Lord. Stretch our hearts. Free us from selfishness. Free us from our addiction to comfort. Free us from our addiction to convenience. Free us, oh God. Help us to embrace your heart for the lost, the broken, the bound, the abused, the neglected, the depressed, the suicidal, the perverted. Help us. Help us meet the conditions of 2 Chronicles 7:14, oh God. Help us. Lord, you didn't just run to us and embrace us like Pastor Seth said earlier. You're running to people all across this nation today. You're running to them. You're running to them. Oh God, help us. Help us. Help us be your partners, oh God. Help us start where we're at and cry aloud, Lord, stretch my heart. Fill me with compassion. Fill me with conviction. Fill me with faith that you will dare use my cry to save a child from sex trafficking, to save a child from abuse in their own home, God, to save a marriage, to heal bodies, to magnify Jesus where people once again are saying, God is great and God is good. Jesus is all I need. if you don't understand what's going on right now, we believe in the manifestation of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of which is tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which is God wanting to communicate with His people in a fresh way that will always line up with the written Word of God. But the Bible instructs us in 1 Corinthians 14 that when a message in tongues is given in the congregation like this, where we're all gathered together, that there needs to be an interpretation. And so we're going to wait another moment and pray that God will bring that interpretation. And this interpretation will edify, build up, and exhort the people of God. Lord, speak. Hallelujah. Just in case people in the balcony or online couldn't not hear that interpretation of this message in tongues, I'm going to summarize it. I'm what you need in every situation. I'm what you need. Cry out to me. I'll come through. That's the essence of what this message said. Would you raise your hands to heaven now and let's cry out to Him. Father, we cry out to You. Lord, we bring not only our nation and our communities and our church to You, but we also bring our personal needs to You today. Lord, You've commanded us to do that also. And this message has not been against bringing our personal needs to You. But Father, we join that together with an enlarged heart for the bigger picture that breaks Your heart also. You're concerned about the personal needs of all 335 million people in this nation. And the 7 billion people around this world, not one personal need has escaped Your notice. And so today, Lord, we take hold of Your faithfulness and we declare indeed, You are the one I need. You are the one I need. In every situation, You are the X factor. In every situation, You are the core, the foundation, the center of my solution. We acknowledge that today in humility and in faith and anticipation of what You're yet to do. Hallelujah. If you have a personal crisis that you want God to intervene with right now, I just want you to raise again. Raise both hands up. Raise them high. Raise them up. Come on. I'm not even looking. God's looking. God's looking. Raise your hands up. You got a personal crisis. You've already asked God to stretch your heart to embrace the nation. Now He wants to embrace your issue. Raise your hands up. Father, in Jesus' name, You see the crisis and You hear the cry of our heart. We have asked You to stretch our hearts to embrace many others' personal crisis. And now, Lord, we declare in faith, You're going to embrace our personal crisis. In Jesus' name, You are our solution. You are our helper in the midst of trouble. You are the one who calms our sea. We bless Your name in anticipation of Your intervention, both in our situation and in our nation. Can I hear you give me a loud amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise today. And I want to say to those that are online, I want you to know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's simple. Surrender. Surrender your past, your present, your future. Surrender your problems, your pain, and your privileges. Surrender them into His care and control. And say, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You rose from the dead for my life. And now I want to trust You with all that I am and exchange my dead-end road for Your life eternal. If you'll pray a prayer like that, I just challenge you to do that. You will find out that God will enter in and He will change the core of your being and give you the abundant life that He came to give. And if you do that, or if you need prayer, those of you that are online, if you need prayer, there's a response form down in the comments somewhere below this broadcast. Please fill that out and send it in. We will respond and be praying for you. Hallelujah. Father, I just bless this congregation in the name of the King of Heaven. Lord, I pray that You would take us out of this building today with confidence, compassion, and clarity. And that, Lord, we would be warriors that seize this moment, and it begins now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.